that if it's not safe, they're going to do that, spread out and thing that Alexandria did.
Well, I think they should be doing that for the next year anyway.
Probably. But they are taking applications and they did move everybody forward to 2021. So,
Which show?
Northern Virginia Fine Arts Festival.
Oh, okay.
So there's probably not, I mean, I can't see anybody backing out of it. In fact, I was getting ready to cancel and the lady sent me an email, I forget her name, and said, "Don't cancel yet. Wait for a couple of days." And that's when they came out with the canceling the show and moving everybody forward.
We shall see.
But Pfizer has apparently come out and said they have a vaccine that is 90% effective. Yeah. How do you tell if you're in that 10%?
Well, actually, do you watch 60 Minutes last night? They talked about a different vaccine that's going to be ready.
Really?
And I'll bet that was scheduled for the weekend before the election. And because Trump screwed them so badly, they put it off until after the election.
I bet you.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Better than last Sunday.
Man, I stayed up and watched Tuesday come in Tuesday night, and I'm like, oh no, because it went red, 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 red.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of depressing on Tuesday night.
It was like, I didn't want to go to bed like I did in 2016 and wake up to Trump's acceptance speech.
I think there'll be some more to come from Mr. Trump. Now, he has to have the last word.
My husband and I were just talking about that. What's going to happen now? Is he going to disappear and implode or make a lot more trouble?
We don't have to talk about that.
No.
So I noticed that there are a few shows scheduled between now and the end of the year.
I've got one coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then two will be running from Black Friday to
No,
just
I
before
mean,
Christmas.
real show.
Real life shows,
So,
yeah.
Larry, other than in Florida, literally.
There's something here. I saw
Where
it
are you?
advertised.
Where are
Pittsburgh.
you? Pittsburgh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, at the Monroeville Expo Mart, there's going to be a craft show. There is every year this time of year.
Inside or outside?
It's inside. It's bizarre.
No inside shows.
That is weird that that's what Pennsylvania is allowing to open up something inside.
Yeah, I don't know if they're allowing it.
Yeah.
We'll see if it actually happens.
Yep. Yep.
Know Diane Wright, she's a jeweler here in Pittsburgh. They couple of different jewelers got together and they're renting space in a store for the last month of the year. So that's a nice thing. I like to see stuff like that happening, or studio walks if you live close enough to other artists. Unfortunately, I don't.
Cliff is very private, you know, otherwise I would set up my booth at the end of the driveway and advertise, but he doesn't want anybody coming to the house. Even if they come for pickup, I meet them somewhere else. Well, I've been trying all day today to Crozet, after it was done, sent us out a list of 750 email addresses that people had said they wanted, you know, they were up for emails to join the list. And I'm like, I'm a little skeptical of that. So
to join whose list?
What?
To join whose list?
Exactly. Exactly. Apparently sent it out to all the artists. So what I've done is I've loaded them in to my mailer light, and then I'm going to send one email that says, would you like to join? And I'm trying to give them a link to join the email list, which is turned out to be more difficult than I thought, but I think I got it. And then I'm going to send that one email that says, would you like to join? Here are your benefits, da, 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 da. And then I'll delete them all so that they can sign in again rather than get a bunch of unsubscribes.
Yeah, you can always have them reply with a yes or no in the subject line.
Well, I don't want to leave those emails up because if I, you know, I have 400 people on my list, almost 500. And if I go over 1,000,
right,
I have to pay. So I'm just going to send them the link to sign up and so that I know they want to sign up.
Well, Allison, explain, what was the start of this? A show you were in, because you were in the show, offered the email list of the attendees?
They sent it off from Crozet, it looks legitimate, and they sent us every artist who was in the show, they sent them a list of emails and names and emails. So it was about 750. It wasn't one of those scam things where they send, do you want to pay for this list? They sent it out on their own. But I'm not sure the people who signed their email up and said, yes, you can email me, knew exactly what they were getting into.
Well, Larry, here's a question for you. Obviously, with your deep expertise with juries, with presentation, et cetera, then... My question is, one hears so often that in order to be successful, you really have to present work that is very similar in look and feel, which from a marketing standpoint, from a branding standpoint, I understand, because then jurors and art fair, they want to know that you can deliver that look consistently for potential customers. But when, like myself, your art is very varied in scene, in topic, in the stories that I'm telling through my work, then what's your take on, I guess, the best way to present oneself in that instance?
Think in terms of work that will sell together.
I always said the way you can tell is if somebody saw your work without you, they would know who did it if they were familiar with your work.
But as far as a cohesive body of work, think in terms of things that can sell together. But don't get too hung up on it. Just don't make any of them really different.
So, in other words, if I was going to include and want to include my black and white, because for instance, at a show where I won a ribbon, then one thing that the judge appreciated about my work is that I did have black and white. I did have a variety that was, as yeah, you can see.
You can't jury with color and black and white. You can choose one or the other. And whatever body of work you jury with should be the bulk of what's in your booth. If you're jurying with color, you could have the black and white on one side wall. Or vice versa.
Yeah, my booth plan for this year, which hasn't happened, had a couple black and whites in it. Okay. So, but I juried in with my colors.
Okay. And then do you have, though, more of a variety than what you juried in with? Is that kind of what you're saying?
I just did black and whites this year, so I've only got four total, and I was going to put up two.
So you mean in your panorama scenes, like I can see behind you, then this year you only did black and whites?
No, this is the first year I did black and white, which I was planning to put in the booth, but didn't get a chance to. And now I've got other pictures that I want to put in their place, but I want to hang the black and whites. It's like I was very uninspired to take pictures fall this year, which is usually my favorite time. It's like I had a great fall in 2019, got a lot of great pictures, I think, but that have never seen the inside of a booth, that nobody's ever really, I haven't been able to get comments on or anything.
Yes, I'm in the same position. This photo behind me, Latifa. Yes, the tree is from, it's actually from Buenos Aires, Argentina, but it is one that is from December of 2019 that fortunately it has been a finalist now in an online gallery. However, I relate to what you're saying about not being able to have that feedback from customers.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm very wrong. I know I did one a few years ago. I was like, this is great. I'm going to bring a backup one. And then a gallery asked for one. So now I've got three and none of them sold.
Oh, Erica, getting back to what we were talking about, it also helps if your work is different than everybody else's.
And that's one way that I see I do have a niche, because I will tend to see some different things in what I'm presenting than other photographers at an art fair.
However, yeah, but you don't know what they're journeying with.
True.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important to go to an open jury if there's any near you.
One day I will, when there are juries again. When I can be among people again.
So, well, Larry, when you're talking, when you're talking about something different, then you mean, obviously, still you're talking about, as you said, presenting works that would sell together. That was your advice, but different in the sense of, yes, a lot of people in my area, for instance, do beach scenes, but having something different than that. Is that what you mean?
Well, different subject matter or different treatment or something, a style that's unique to you.
But you can always see, wait and see, and, you know, get into some of the smaller shows that aren't as particular and see what people are buying. You know, my first show, I had one panorama, horizontal panorama. What's this? Spam call. Let me see. Oh, I hate those. I finally hooked up my phone, my home phone, to the fax machine. It gives me great pleasure to hear it ring and ring and go hit fax. Because nobody, I made sure that all the important people have my cell phone. But they still call my cell phone.
Larry, I would say that the answer to what you said about something that is unique would be my photos are unembellished. So I definitely notice, as Allison was saying, back when we were getting regular feedback from customers, that it was something that resonated with folks. The unembellished photos in that natural state, bringing people the essence of what I saw through the lens without processing.
Yeah, but that's not, that doesn't translate to jury.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Are you familiar with my color infrared? It's alternatephoto.com is the website. And it's really unique. I juried with it for a couple of years, and a lot of times the show staff would come by and they'd say, we saw your work in the jury room and we really wondered what it looked like in your booth. So, you know, that's why we're coming by to look.
What did they buy?
The X-rays sold well. I used to get, especially shows in Atlanta for some reason, I used to double my gross of the show afterwards. Because people that worked in doctor's offices would go back and tell them what they saw, and then they would buy it for the doctor's offices. I'll put it in the chat.
Cool, I found it.
Okay, but Joyce asked me for it too. Okay, it's in the chat.
Is anybody doing any Facebook or Google advertising for their website?
You have to pay for that, don't you?
I was paying and getting nothing from it.
Yeah,
so I mean, my website is kind of, I mean, I was getting a lot of people on it, but they weren't buying.
Are shows doing that though? The shows are probably advertising on Facebook.
Yeah. It was a real fun on Crozet to watch Google Analytics and watch all the people come in, which was nice. And I did make one good sale. So my event me page is done. Waiting, that's the one that starts the 12th. So we'll see what happens.
Can you share that with us?
Yeah, can I share?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you gotta enable me.
Oh no, I mean just the URL.
I don't know if anybody can get in right now.
I don't think it makes a difference if you're in a show or not.
Really? Let me go.
Yeah, because I was looking at RC's last night. You know RC Fulwile?
I think so.
Yeah, I was looking at his page last night. Somebody posted a link to it on Facebook.
Okay, where's my video? Okay, I have to fix that. I had a video up there. Oh, here it comes. Unexpectedly closed the connection. Why? Let me see. Refresh. There it is. Let's see. Let me see. Okay, now we zoom. Okay, chat. See if you can see that.
Yeah.
I did email them about deleting categories. It is possible to delete categories. They didn't understand about the alphabetical thing of categories, because I wanted my groupings and then my vertical panoramas, and they were throwing the vertical panoramas at the end. So I changed them to H vertical panoramas as the category.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of it is you can use that page now as your personal website.
I have too much work in my personal website.
Well, for some people, it's going to be more updated than their actual websites.
Yeah, but I keep mine fairly well updated. But I did change it, and I wonder what you think. I had the pictures of the furniture, with the pictures and some sayings, and I changed, I put just a square of, this is who I am, this is what vertical panoramas are used for, groupings, da da da, and a little bit of blurb of who I was in the top of the page, and then going down to the galleries, which I'm not sure. I've been watching Google, I've been watching my bounce rate, and seeing what's happening. I'm not getting a lot of hits right now, but we'll see what happens when the show starts.
Yeah, I mean, I see things that they should change, like products should be art. I don't understand follow. What does that mean?
I think that means follow on Facebook.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it just says follow.
Look, oh, where'd it go? Okay.
I'll bet you it's something that they, when you're doing another show that's using EventMe, that might be what follow means. Huh. Another chance people have of buying your work.
I am following Serenity Scenes. I have no idea what I've done.
But the other thing that that turned me off, where it has the number of events you've appeared in.
Yeah.
That
makes you look.
That makes no sense.
Well, hopefully there'll be more, because.
Well, right. But the point is, what is the point of that?
Yeah. Especially when you've been doing it for years, it makes you look like a newcomer.
I wonder if I should talk to Sharon about stuff like that.
So Allison, on this event, then what is the material that these are literally, and I know you were talking about framed versus unframed before. These are unframed.
I did not put my framed ones up because the show, where the location of the show was outside my delivery area, and shipping the framed ones is very expensive. And I have to go hang out at FedEx for a long time to make sure they pack it right.
So is what I'm seeing on your Eventme page are these photos on panoramic paper?
Yes. Well, they're prints. If you click on one of them, and then you'll see the variations, they come in print only or canvas gallery wrap. But on my website, they also come framed, but like the shipping on the big ones is $150. And that's the last time I sent one was to North Carolina from Virginia, and it was $150. So God help me if they want it in California.
do they come matted or not?
No, they do not come matted. They're shipped rolled.
Okay, don't you think you should list unmatted as part of the...
Well, that's what I've said, is print only.
Yeah, I know, but print only and unmatted could be construed as two different things. Print only can be just, you know, without a frame.
Okay.
And up at the top in your video, it shows them matted.
Going back. Where am I? Oh, wow. It's going through all my videos.
See how your video ends on your page there? It's showing a triple that's matted.
Heck, what happened here?
The point is there shouldn't be any questions at all. People should know what they're getting. Without having to.
Oh, that's gotcha. I see. It's actually showing them framed, which is what's behind me now, but that's a good point.
Just joined us, we're looking at Allison's Eventme page. It's in the chat.
Again, please. That was, I found the way to do it though. You shrink down, zoom, and then you take a word, because I was having a hell of a time remembering what I wanted to say, and then I would stumble, and then I get frustrated and say, oh shit, and things like that. And so I made a Word document of what I wanted to say, and I put it just above the Zoom screen, so I could hit record, make sure I was smiling, hit record, and then read the thing. And I think it worked out well. The first time I did it, I was obviously reading, so I had to move the Word document around a little bit so I could actually look like I was expressing, talking, instead of reading.
Do you want to try that, what do you call it? software that I have?
No, I feel like I should be talking.
Well, then you don't have to. Instead of talking, you could just show pictures of your, you know, your photographs.
I sent that to one show. I have a video on my website. I sent that to one show, and they didn't like it. I did just a few pictures of me out taking pictures, and then I did like vertical panoramas, horizontal panoramas. I liked it. It was like I didn't have to say anything, but because when I'm at a show, I'm fairly quiet. You know, I like to let the work sell itself.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Why is it that the shows are so intent on us showing videos and talking? Like you say, Allison, when at a show, a lot of us just sit there and wait for the people to respond to the work and ask us a question. What do they think we're benefiting anybody from by doing this
video? I have no idea, because I go by the Bruce Baker theory. I say hello and the next person who speaks loses. Say hello, welcome, and shut up.
Well, it's value added.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people whose work needs an explanation.
But and they can provide that. But for the shows that are saying we really would like to see a video, shouldn't that be purely the choice of the artist if they want to do that? There should be no penalty.
I'm sure it is.
Well, yeah, EventMe, the video is optional. Occasion for the Arts, they really wanted a video, and I sent them the first one, which was just, you know, pictures of me taking pictures and then the results, and they didn't like that. Who was it wanted the studio tour? That was awful.
Yeah.
And I did that on the iPhone, and you know, I've gotten a lot better at making videos, but there's some Leo was showing me some of the videos that he had this is what you need to aspire to. And there's some really nice videos out there, but you know, I don't do videos as art.
We're artists, we're being creative in our thought process.
Yeah. Well, the reason I don't do mats on the large verticals is it costs as much to ship them as it does, almost as much to ship the framed version, because you have to ship them flat.
Right. So are you shipping them rolled up in a tube?
Yeah.
Does it say that?
It does on my website.
No, I'm talking about on your EventMe page.
I don't think so.
Okay, so that you need to
find a place to put that in the introduction. Yeah. I have to make
you
a new
put
video.
It in. Put it with the size.
Yeah, that means I have to go in and change every single damn one of them.
Well.
I put the vertical panoramas in by hand rather than, because I didn't quite trust the bulk loader. The bulk loader works very well, but I don't want to do it again.
Do you explain to them the difference between it rolled up in a tube cost-wise versus matted?
I don't sell them matted.
You don't?
I try to avoid FedEx office as much as possible.
Do you find people are unwilling to pay the cost to have it shipped? Because the cost of taking your work in to have it matted and framed, for a lot of people, they talk about that the framing costs so much more than the artwork does. Well, if you can reduce their cost by saying, well, you'll have to pay the shipping on it, but it'll come already matted, all you have to do is frame it. You don't think that's a selling point?
No.
Yeah, shipping is too much of a hassle, right?
Shipping is a huge hassle on the. It's as much a hassle to ship a matted one as it is to ship a framed one.
You know, I see. I like the idea of telling them it's rolled up in a tube.
Okay.
And then you don't have to say unmatted because it's taken for granted at that point. But at least they know, and I would say in a sturdy tube.
Oh, they're very sturdy tubes. I even paid.
Well, now I know, but you need to tell people that.
I wonder if I can put that somewhere in the main. I'm going back and looking at it myself.
Is there a place for shipping information?
I can put it in my introduction statement there. Prints are shipped rolled, unmatted rolled.
In a sturdy tube.
In a sturdy tube. And that way I have to go in and change every single one of them and put canvas gallery wraps are ready to hang, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you need to take all the questions out of the equation.
Well, then they won't Zoom me.
What?
Then they won't Zoom me.
Well, you don't want them to, unless you want to upsell.
Yeah, I think you just want them to go to the shopping cart, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you want to upsell. I mean, that's why I've never had a shopping cart on any of my websites. I prefer they call me.
Well, I have been able to upsell a grouping. If they get on Zoom, I can show them different groupings.
Are all your matted images the same size, or they come in a variety of sizes?
There are, on the panoramas, there's a small and a large. And then the standard ones come in a lot of sizes.
Okay. But is it mostly the panoramic ones that are a problem for shipping?
Yes.
Okay. Just another possibility. You might look into a box manufacturer and figure out what you would need in terms of dimension and have the boxes made for you. And then all you have to do is put the artwork in and seal it. I've done that a lot over the years. And most box makers are pretty inexpensive. They'll custom size it to whatever you want. And it really speeds up the packaging process big time. And they're not that expensive to have made. Mm-hmm. You have to do them in quantity. Yes.
I did that too when I had 30 by 40 canvases. I got 100 boxes, and I still have some of them in the house. We use them if we get stuck in the snow.
Well, my canvas gallery wraps are drop shipped.
Well, what was your experience with the pre-made boxes, Larry? Was it a good thing, or?
Well, yeah, because I figured out what size I needed.
Right.
So it just made things easy. I still have a stack of them in the basement.
I don't have a basement or an attic, and my husband owns the garage. Basically, I have a 1,600 square foot house, and if you stay over, you're sleeping on the couch. And that's all the space I have is those two bedrooms. And I try not, so I don't have space. I have a bunch of shelves in the studio, and I don't have space to put boxes. And they would have to go in the studio because the cats would scratch the hell out of them.
Well, that's another
issue. Put them where they could get to them.
Joyce posted that Mark Loeb is going to have a Zoom meeting on shipping artwork.
Oh.
Is that tomorrow by any chance? Not tomorrow, Wednesday?
I have not been able to hook into Mark Loeb's stuff.
He usually has a meeting at 2:30 on Wednesdays.
how do I get the link?
Just email him, Allison.
Yeah, I mean, I'll forward you the next email I get from him.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Because, yeah, shipping is... One thing I thought about is going to Plexi for shipping, but I really don't like working with Plexi. Because it's the fact that there's glass that makes it, you know, the FedEx box. I've never had FedEx break one. They put it in a nice big box. It's double walled. It's really cool the way they pack it. But you do have to make sure you get somebody who knows how to pack the box. It's kind of suspended in the center.
So on a slightly different topic, has anybody that's in this meeting having any luck or what their experience is with the virtual shows? Hearing about other artists' experience or going in and looking like on Eventme and see who's got things in their cart and who's sold anything? Are they working?
I had good luck with Crozet with their, they had a little, it was a very short show. They had a button that said Zoom with the artist and it dinged you and you could open up Zoom and they would be there. And I had good luck with that. I was able to sell a nice grouping. I wish I could get more people to Zoom because there's a lot to explain about, but the other one, Central Pennsylvania, I happened to sell, and I'm not even sure because the big purchase was from Virginia, which I'm not sure if maybe it came from my email list and they checked out the show, or maybe they just didn't have anything to do with the show. I got one small order from State College, but nothing big.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though, if you've never been to the State College show, or never heard of it, from the public's point of view, you have no idea what you're missing.
Mm.
And there are quite a few shows that are like phenomenal, gigantic shows when they're running. And for the public that doesn't live in that area, they're not aware of it. So to them, it's just another show maybe that's trying to get their attention.
Yeah, when I talk to friends, you know, it's about art shows who don't know, who are not part of it. I was like, hey, I got into Krazzle. And they're like, yeah.
Actually, Krazzle's grandfathered show, that's very hard to get into.
Well, I did. I got into it twice. But I took Pennsylvania over Krazzle 2019. And I did better in Pennsylvania because of this, my subject matter is not really Michigan. I do better in the mountains and the eastern.
Anybody else have any experiences with the virtual shows?
Yeah, this is Dennis. I'm currently involved with two virtual shows that just started up. Rittenhouse Square, I have 4 pictures for $10. And that's a follow-up from their last virtual show.
And what's then that web address, Dennis? I wanted to look that up while you were talking.
Yeah.
How do I find that one?
Well, you'll have to go to Rittenhouse Square, go to their website, and I think they're posting it next month. I don't remember how long it'll be up for, but it was a follow-up from our show, our virtual show that we had last month. And the show last month cost $100. This one only cost $10. And that's just to cover their fee for the website, or for Zoom, rather, because we're going through Zoom in order to send the pictures to them. I'm also involved with another virtual show locally here, where I only have one painting in. And so I have two currently. The other two that I was involved with was Williamsburg and another small one. So I've had responses on my website from people looking at my website, but I've made no sales directly from it.
So the virtual shows you've been working with send people to your website?
Well, my website is posted, and if they're curious, they'll look. But the purpose of the virtual shows is actually is to try and sell through them. Oh, no, excuse me. Not sell through them, but contact through them. They're not taking any percentage of the sales at all.
That was voiceofart.org? Dennis?
That sounds familiar. Would that be Rittenhouse?
Well, no, or you gave us that last week.
Oh, that's my local one.
That was a beautiful layout where you could actually go into a room virtually and turn around and different art.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. They take 35% of the sale. It's actually hanging on the walls of an actual inn, the Litchfield Inn, that I just was reading today. They have full capacity. It's all the rooms are full. And they've had 700 customers over the season so far. Hmm. So another thing that I'm doing is I'm lining up library shows for next year. I'm just typing up something now for my third library show to hang work in. And some take a modest percentage of the sale, like 35%, let's say.
Is that at all problematic for you when they charge a commission?
No, not at all.
Good.
I don't have a problem with that because my gallery takes 50%.
Ooh.
Saving.
Yeah, but it's not a material cost thing like photography.
No.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I got a check yesterday from my gallery, so, which is nice.
I got two checks, yeah.
Well, we're heading down to Florida for an 8-show season on Friday. So we're going to try and have a normal season. We normally do 8 during the season anyway.
And all of them are scheduled to go through at this point?
Yeah, looks good. Everybody, yeah. A Fort Myers show went on Saturday. Was it called? I don't know if it was called
Babcock Ranch. Yeah. Babcock Ranch, yeah.
So that was nice to hear because it's just not Howard Allen shows that are going through, but I don't think any Peregrine shows have been approved yet.
He had one.
Oh, great.
Well, he had West Hampton back.
Did he have a Sarasota show 2 weeks ago?
No, I think that did not happen.
No, it didn't. Paragon hasn't had any shows. They're all showing as canceled or under review.
But from what I understand, Howard Allen is trying to have a show in Naples. Actually, three shows, actually, I heard. So that's very political.
And Patty Narazny has one in Sarasota, I think, this coming weekend.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I'm doing the Naples Art Fest, though. I've been doing that since it started 21 years ago, as Great. Naples Invitational.
Anything you can tell us about? Are they changing the layout, like fewer booths, spacing the booths out?
Which show?
Any of the shows that you've got coming up in Florida, or are they pretty much all going as normal?
No, it's normal.
No, they have to be spacing the booths.
They haven't told me that.
I'm sure what they're doing is they're pointing to Howard Allen and saying, we're going to do it like he does it.
And he does space to do something
everywhere. Yeah.
Well, I tell you this, the seven shows I'm involved with, no one has said anything about that.
Except, yeah, but when you get there, the booths might be 10 feet apart.
Well, I would assume so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's my input on the virtual.
How do other people feel about the commission concept? Are people okay with it? Does it depend on how much it
depends
is?
Depends on the show.
Yeah.
I did Oklahoma City for a couple of years, and it was a commission, but I still took in over 10 grand.
Yeah. I love Oklahoma City.
It reaches a point where the commission doesn't matter. It's like a booth fee.
Right.
Yeah, it's better than paying a booth fee and maybe selling nothing.
Plus, I believe in most commission shows, if you're in the top echelon of your art medium, you're brought back, right? Oklahoma City did. You were in for 3 years, right?
It's a three-year jury. They rotate people in and out every 3 years per medium. And it's not every medium the same year.
Right.
So it's broken up. And you have to do 3,500 to come back.
But in most cases, like if you're doing 10,000, you really want to come back, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So except that you're there for a week.
Yeah, you know, and to me, and the beauty of commission-based shows is that it's the only show that I've ever been part of and that conceptually I know of where the voice of the public is heard. Uh-huh. It's listened to through the sales that you record. That's the way that they measure how the public that they brought to the event respond to the artwork that's in the show. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And is that not a good thing?
Well, I know where you're going, Ron. The time you couldn't get back into, what do you call it, Indianapolis.
Oh, no. That wasn't where I was going. No.
But it's definitely a good thing from a commission basis, but it shouldn't mean that you're automatically invited back. Because if there aren't new people there from time to time, the public gets tired of coming.
Yeah.
But did you ever do Oklahoma City where there weren't new people in the show that were not?
Well, no, because the 3 years is offset every year per medium. Right.
But even if you were doing, say you were inviting back the top third of the artists, the next third got bonus points on their jury score, and the rest of them go back into the jury pool. We all know artists that could do really good in their art medium. They could be invited back, but it wasn't good enough for them. They're not going to come back. Or if it conflicts with another show they really wanted to do, they might go somewhere else. I don't think, is there any show where that's not grandfathered that you see the same artist year after year after year?
Art in the Park.
Art in the Park.
Yeah.
Krazzle?
No. Yeah. Richmond.
Oh.
Richmond Art in the Park, yeah.
What about Art in the Park, Allison?
Richmond Art in the Park is...
Yeah, because I was jurored into that one this year, and obviously, unfortunately, didn't get to go. It would have been my first time, so I wanted to hear more about it.
It's a very huge show. It was the first show I did. After doing shows for 8 years in Florida, I moved to Virginia, and it was the first Virginia show I did. And I looked around, and I said, I'm screwed. Because they have welcome mats made with recycled tires and air plants and all kinds of crazy stuff. But they also have some very, very fine artists. And
it's a very uneven juried show.
Very uneven. It's very large. And it's a 10 by 10 foot exactly. And you basically get the same space. Once you get a space,
It as long as you're juried back in.
I was supposed to get Jim Spillane's old space, but he decided not to retire this year, but then they canceled it because he has a much better space than my space, but maybe I'll get that eventually. He keeps retiring and coming back.
It has a big country craft also besides art, besides fine art.
A lot of shit on a stick.
It's a mix.
Yeah, it's a very, I mean, wide range.
Yeah.
So were you putting that in the category based on the question you were answering of a show that does see a lot of turnover or does not in artists coming back year after year?
No, it's usually the same artist every year. It's like the first show of the season.
I lost one neighbor, but he moved over somewhere else. I think he was there and his wife was there, and I think they got divorced because they moved him around. But I've had the same space for, when was my first one? 2011. So I've had the same space now for 9 years.
And do you go back every year because it's good for you, or?
It is uneven. 1 year, last year I did $400, which was not quite, but except it's a sleep in my own bed show, so, and it's a $200 booth fee, so I did great. 1 year I did $3,800, which was phenomenal for not having to pay for a hotel or anything. It depends. For me, it's very, very bad. Nothing sells off the wall until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a huge show. They don't want to carry it around. They shuttle bus people in. But if it starts to rain at 2 o'clock, I'm screwed.
So if you'd have had to drive to that show, say a day's drive to get there over these years, would you still be doing it?
Probably not after last year.
Yeah, but it depends on what else is on your schedule. That's like the first outdoor show that, up north at the beginning of the season. And
in March?
No.
May. It's first in May.
May.
Yeah, when I cut back on shows, that was the first show I chose to drop.
Okay.
Because it just didn't matter at that point.
Yeah, and it's very, the 10 by 10 exactly, I mean, they mean it. They square it up on the things with stakes.
And so if you show up and your neighbors are set up on either side of you, sometimes it's a tough fit to get your booth in?
No. I've never had that problem because they mark it exactly. But I know the first time I showed up, I was used to Florida shows and my rug was like 11 and a half feet so that I could get in under all my poles, and that didn't work very well. I had to turn it under, and it was like I'd never seen a show, even the land, which is say 10 by 10 exactly. I still had room for my rug. But also, if you get in the right space, you can spread out in front, not your work. But you know, I would have stock beside me and tables and everything.
So going back to the commission question, if more shows decided to go commission based, would that be a good thing for you guys, you think, or a not so good thing? And why?
If there was no booth fee, that would be nice because I'm really happy being in galleries where, you know, if it doesn't sell, neither one of us makes any money. But I have to put the money out except to create the work.
But are you talking about commission where it's on the honor system or they make the sales?
Where they make the sales, and sort of like Oklahoma City where you do pay a booth fee and then you get it.
The central sales booth.
Yeah, exactly. And you get your booth fee back after a point. So it's just purely commission-based sales.
I don't know, as a customer, I would like that.
Why?
Well, the customers get used to it.
Especially with my large work.
Well.
Or do you write up a slip and they take it and pay for it and come back and get it?
They give you sales slips that are in triplicate.
Mm.
And one of the nice things they do, at least for two-dimensional work, though this, I'm not sure necessarily this is part of asking the question of what people feel about it. And Larry, you've experienced this too, is they have a print tent set up where they have a price limit on it where you can take work, you inventory it, you check it in, and they have staff in that tent that will sell that work for you smaller.
Same commission.
Right. And then they also have a children's tent that you can take stuff to. And they do this.
Yeah, the children's tent was great.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I brought all my old teddy bear pictures there.
Oh,
boxes and boxes of it. Yeah. And I kept restocking it every day.
Right. And you can still, at Oklahoma City, set up, as just as an example, set up bins in your booth if you want to. But if you choose not to and you choose to put them in the print tent, it allows you, it frees you up to talk with customers that walk in your booth about your work and about your bigger pieces, which is kind of unique. You know, if somebody starts asking you a question, you start talking about it, you don't have to worry about somebody wanting to buy two small matted prints from you. Not that that's not important, but it allows you to focus on something different. And then the commission thing again, for promoters, it becomes not so much about how many booth spots we put in, because Oklahoma City, I think, only has 120 booths, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's a small show.
A small show. So it's not about putting in more booth spots and then dicing up the money that comes in, and you're limited by how many booth spots you have. It's how much money can each booth spot generate income from, and you're keeping track of that. The honor system, I think, like La Quinta uses, is good to a point. I like to think the majority of artists are fairly honest. In fact, I've seen some that overstate the sales they had because they did well enough, they wanted to come back. So they'll pay sales tax on sales they didn't even have.
They used to do that at Harper's Ferry.
Which, is that still commission-based too?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is there a Harper's Ferry show?
Well, it used to be a great show, especially for country stuff. I knew a lot of people that overpaid on commission to make sure they could get back in the following year.
Which means for them, it's a good thing. So I'm curious how, because I hear so many artists go like, I'll never pay commission on a show, which I'm glad to hear, because then they're not going to compete for those shows like Oklahoma City or.
Right.
Trying to understand the rationale, what's so bad about a commission-based show?
It's not.
Oh, what could?
It, because it ends up being your booth fee anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And not that many people understand that.
Plus, if it's 6 days.
St. James Court is a really good example. They were commissioned until they bought computers. And the commission, after they bought computers, they entered all the previous years into the computer and they figured out who was cheating.
Seriously? Wow. That's some interesting detective work.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden somebody's doing 10 grand and they only reported 2 grand.
Yeah. Well, and the other nice thing then too, you know, about commission-based shows is if people want to cheat the system, they're shooting themselves in the foot because, my understanding with Oklahoma City was at the end of 3 years, you went back into the jury pool and you may or may not get back in. So I know some artists that have never been out of it, at the end of their 3 years, they get juried back in. But I know
like
some,
like out there,
yeah, well, I was next to a ceramic artist that I was, my first year in there was their third year, and when I ran into him in my second year, they weren't back in. And when I ran into him at another show, I said, what happened with Oklahoma City? They said, well, we got juried out. And I said, wow, what did you report for sales on your last year? And they did $16,700 their last year, and they got juried out.
Yeah. What was, what's the woman's name? She's an oil painter, traditional oil painter from Atlanta. She was my neighbor. I forget her name. She was my neighbor at Oklahoma City. And she used to do 80, 90 grand a year there.
Oh my gosh. That's a year's.
She never got juried out.
Never. Wow. Well, but they're making so much money off of her. It's kind of like, why would they want to jury her out?
Right.
Why would they want to let a jury assert any opinion in the, because the link was established between the buyers and the artists. That's what mattered, right?
Yeah, there were other people too. I mean, I know John Galbo stayed in there every year.
Yeah. And there's an artist I know from Washington, same thing. He's been in every year, I think, that I know of. which is now about 1870.
Yeah, and there was a painter from Italy. They ended up hiring me to scan their slides and create images when Oklahoma City went with Zap.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and he'd been in every year also.
It just seems like there's benefits to commission-based shows that
outweigh. There's shows that you can sell very expensive artwork at. There aren't that many. Oklahoma City, it happens to be one.
Why Oklahoma City in the middle of the Midwest? You know, why is Des Moines so successful in the middle of Iowa? They're doing something right.
Well, Oklahoma City, they have dinners throughout the year and they project the artist's slides.
Oh, they do.
So they're pre-selling you all year long.
Wow.
And the people, they know who they're going to buy from. They've already pledged that money. They come around before the show opens the first day and they pick up what they want. And you get these purchase certificates to hang in your booth. And I've seen booths with like 50 purchase certificates.
That's impressive.
They really do it well. Let me see, it's after 3 o'clock. I have to feed the dogs and like Allison said, she has to start dinner.
Well, thanks for having
us. What?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, till next week.
Ciao.
And everybody, thanks for coming. Even the people I didn't say hello to, like Shirley and Frank.
All right, see
you guys next week. Does anybody listen to the audio from the previous?
I have never done it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Would they prefer the video? I don't think so.
I'll be listening to it because I missed the first half hour.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have it up and back by this evening.
Okay, so long.
All right. Thank you. Bye, everybody.